You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Hello once again. Always a pleasure to have you with us here at ICS Church. If this is your very first time, my name is Chad. I'm one of the pastors here at church. We're currently doing a series called All is Bright. All is Bright. It is Christmas season right now, not just in Philippines, but around the world. And what an unusual time, really, to be in right now. You know, Christmas is usually one of the busiest times here in Metro Manila, here in the Philippines, and probably in many places around the world. You know, people travel, go in different places, visit relatives. And so it's kind of a bit sad that that's not happening right now. But despite these things, know that God's promises are yes and amen, and that He is still for you wherever you are. And so today, I want to read a passage that talks about the birth of Jesus. Really, that's the essence of Christmas. You know, as Christians commemorate this and celebrate this around the world, it's reminding us of the coming of our Savior to this earth. And in the Gospels, we have two Gospel writers that have an account about the birth of Jesus Christ. One is Matthew, who was a tax collector, a government worker, who became a follower of Jesus in the first century. And the other is a doctor by profession. He is Dr. Luke. And he came to faith a little later on. You know, he wasn't one of the disciples, the 12 apostles of Jesus, but he was a close associate of Paul. He was also a close associate of first century believers who went about researching his own accounts of the life of Jesus Christ. So today we're going to take Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus. And I'm going to read right now from chapter 1 of Matthew, beginning in verse 18. Now, after he talks about the lineage of Christ, tracing the roots of Jesus Christ, coming to the side of his adopted father, Joseph, we come to this point. And in verse 18, it says here, "This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly." Now, of course, that's kind of really, wow, that's a wow thing, right? For a single, unmarried young woman to tell her fiancé, "Hey, you know what? I'm married and no man is involved. It is from the Holy Spirit." So I'm guessing for Joseph at this point, I was like, okay, that's really, really hard to believe. So being a righteous man, legally, he was actually entitled to bring Mary to the court and for Mary to be stoned to death. I mean, wow, that's pretty harsh, but that's the law in their town, in their city. And as Jews, they actually had the legal right to do that. But it says here, I mean, Joseph was an honorable man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he wanted to break off the engagement at this point. He didn't, quick to say that he didn't believe Mary's message that she was a virgin a mother or about to be a mother. And so it continues on. Matthew states, "As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him," appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. And the prophet that is referring to here is the prophet Isaiah, who lived hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus ever took place. And the prophecy was this: look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. And in the last verse that we're not going to read, it says there that he did not consummate the marriage. He did not have physical sexual relations with Mary until Jesus was born. You know, promises are really important when it comes to relationships. And promises actually don't mean anything outside of relationships, because a promise is given to someone else. And when a promise is given, the expectation is how true will the promise will be the moment it is fulfilled. And when it is fulfilled, then most likely what it does, it is strengthens the relationship, right? So when promises are fulfilled, relationships are made stronger. That is just a fact. That's a reality that all of us have in every relationship, whether it is a relationship with our spouse, our family, or even with strangers like advertisers, right? You know, when we see an advertisement put forth publicly, we expect that they deliver what they advertise. And sometimes when it is not fulfilled, you know, you have a lot of angry customers. How much more in an intimate relationship, you know, in a marriage relationship, or in this case, Joseph and Mary, who were engaged, you're expecting that, you know, pretty much both sides in this party would keep their promise of preserving themselves for the other person. And going beyond that, you know, in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, for those of us who have put our faith in God, who are God believers, who are Jesus followers, there is a certain level of expectations that we have with God when it comes to His promises over us. And of course, at the same time, God expects us as well on our part to be those who fulfill our promises. When people do not fulfill their promises to one another, there is a strain in relationship. And if that goes on over time, that relationship eventually breaks down and will no longer exist, you know, because there's only so much that we can do to believe what the other person says. And if there are multiple promises, multiple words, multiple times that those promises are broken, then man, you know, for many of us, we will not commit any longer to that relationship, because too many broken promises, too many times we have been frustrated, discouraged, and disappointed. And that's true when it comes to our relationship with our Heavenly Father, right? The reason why many Christians around the world continue to trust in God, even in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of pandemics, sicknesses, disease, in the midst of lack, in the midst of tough times, is because for many of us, we have seen how God has time and again fulfilled the promises that He has said when it comes to His relationship with those of us that He has created, with man, with creation, with all of humanity. And so because of this, it has strengthened our faith and our trust in Him, allowing us to continue to follow Him as believers and as Christians. And that's what we want to talk about today, because the birth of Jesus for believers, for Christians, is actually a fulfillment of God's promise that was given hundreds of years before and ultimately was fulfilled at the birth of Jesus. And even that promise was fulfilled in His lifetime when Jesus was here on earth, which strengthens the faith of every Christian. The first century Christians really didn't celebrate much the birth of Jesus. That's why we only find this account in two gospel stories. What was most important to them was actually the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what does this have to do with the promises of God and God as a fulfiller of promises? On our end, if we are to experience the reality of God and continue to grow in our faith in Him, Here's the big idea that we need to remember today. When promises are fulfilled, right, relationships are made stronger. And for us Christians, for those of us who believe in God, faith and obedience are the two ingredients that are needed to experience God's promises in our life. Without faith, without trust in God, these words that we read from Scripture are just going to be mere words, right? The words that we find in the Bible, which is 66 different books, will just be another piece of literature. But the fact that we experience the reality of God in our everyday life as expressed through faith and obedience continues to strengthen our relationship with Him and Him with us. See, God doesn't need to prove anything to us because He is God. But when we experience Him in our everyday life, it is there that our own faith and resolve are strengthened over time. So in this story, how can we actually see that? Where do we see God fulfilling His promise? Well, first of all, as I mentioned earlier, the prophecy that Matthew quoted was a prophecy that Isaiah made hundreds of years before. It is one of the many messianic prophecies that were fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ, and some of them are yet to be fulfilled. So because of this, many in the first century who became followers of Jesus Christ ended up actually believing that He really was and truly is the Son of God, not simply because of the virgin birth, right, that was foretold and that was fulfilled in His life, but ultimately His perfect sinless life lived on earth, His death on the cross of Calvary, and ultimately His resurrection from the dead. Proving once again that, hey, God's promises are true, and Jesus as, in our belief, the Son of God, the same thing, also a fulfiller of the promises that were prophesied hundreds of years before He ever came, fulfilled in His life, and are still being fulfilled even today. So God fulfills His promise. You know, we can trust in this God. We can rely in this God of the Scriptures, of the Bible, because He is a God that fulfills His promise. Scripture tells us that not a single word spoken over Israel has fallen to the ground. That was true in the life of Israel in the Old Testament times. That was true in the life of Jesus Christ while He was on earth over Israel. And many of these prophecies are still being fulfilled over the nation of Israel today. God is a fulfiller of promise. This was fulfilled at the birth of Jesus Christ as prophesied by Isaiah, and He continues to fulfill these promises today. How else can we know that we can trust the God that the Bible talks about as a promise-making God? God's promises comes in different ways. This is one thing that we need to understand about the promises of God. It doesn't always arrive the way that we expect. I'm sure when this promise was given that the Messiah was to come, many in Israel was expecting a political Messiah, because that's one prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled, the restoration of the kingdom, literal kingdom of Israel, over to them. And so they are awaiting this Savior. And for many of them, when Jesus eventually came into scene and started ministering, some of them were expecting that He would be the political Savior of Israel. But of course, Jesus came to do beyond that. He wasn't here to save just the nation of Israel. He was here to seek and to save the lost. He was here to save all of humanity from sin. It's beyond politics, but it was a spiritual condition of man that broke a relationship with our loving Heavenly Father that Jesus came to bridge, that Jesus came to fulfill and to do. And so when Jesus eventually came and fulfilled the promise of God, to be the bridge builder, to be the peacemaker, to ultimately pay for the sin of all of mankind, because all have sinned and fallen short of God's expectation. When Jesus died on that cross and resurrected 3 days later, he was fulfilling God's promise. But many weren't prepared for that. Many weren't prepared to receive a king that would be born in diapers. Many weren't prepared to receive God's promise delivered this way. I mean, it was delivered with the minimal pomp and circumstance. You know, there weren't blasting horns anywhere. I mean, there was on the night that Jesus was born, but it was reserved to an audience of very few. And it was only shepherds who saw that, right? Kings weren't there. There was nobody else around at the birth of Jesus. In fact, a party was going on in the towns. Why? Because a census was being made and people were asked to go back to their hometowns. So cities were packed and they were busy. And just like many cities around the world today, so many people are busy. And yet in the midst of this busyness, a Savior was born. Joseph himself wasn't expecting the arrival of the Savior to be in the form of his engaged girlfriend, right? He wasn't expecting that it was going to be delivered this way. And so we see the unbelief even in the story. And it was saying that even though Joseph was righteous, he was about to break off this relationship. And so the angel had to come and speak directly to Joseph through a dream, just to affirm what Mary had already told him. And it was because of this message, of this testimony of the angel, that Joseph eventually relents and decides to trust in what Mary had already said. Why was there unbelief? Because again, the promise was revealed in unexpected ways. And so a lot of us experience that in our own life, right? You know, when the promise of God is fulfilled in our lives, whether it's in a form of provision, healing, right, direction, clarity, a lot of times many of us have experienced this happening in ways that we have not expected. Some of us, we go to work and we expect that, you know, through our job, that our needs will be met. And many times that's what happens. But none of us expect an emergency situation to take place in our life that would require extra cash, extra money for us to be able to meet it. But as we learn to trust in God, what have we seen over time? God has come through and provided what we have needed in unexpected ways. Many times, it's in the least expected ways that God has come through and fulfilled His promise in our life. So this is one thing that we need to recognize, that when God is going to fulfill His promise, it may not happen the way that we expect. There will be times when God will fulfill His promise and deliver it in unexpected ways. God's promises comes in different ways. Another thing that we need to learn about God's promise is that it usually exceeds our expectations. It's usually above and beyond what we expect. Again, the people who were waiting and anticipating the arrival of the Messiah was expecting somebody to come in glory. And Jesus is going to come in glory. But this first revelation was not that yet. Right? It wasn't that yet. It was far beyond that, because it was beyond political salvation. It was the salvation of all of mankind. Right? It is exceeding the expectation. What did the message say? That He will come and He will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. He will come and He will save all of humanity from their sins. Not just one group of people, not just the people who were kind, not just the people who deserved to be saved in our perspective, but all who were sinners, even those who didn't even know that Jesus yet existed. Jesus came for them. Jesus came to live a perfect sinless life, to die a death so that they wouldn't have to, and to save them from their sins. That's what Jesus came to do. It was beyond what was expected. And so when God fulfills His promise, we should always have a heart of expectation that, yes, it may come in a different way, in a different form, but we should expect that God will always exceed what we expect. So, in our own life, if this is really who God says He is, and that He is going to do what He says He's going to do, how can we experience that in our life? If the God that we serve, we follow, is a promise-fulfilling God, how can we experience Him in our life together with His promises? Let me give some suggestions. Four things. First of all, we need to know God's promises. If we don't know the promises of God, then how can we be made aware that it's actually being fulfilled in our life? You know, sometimes we get so worried about so many issues that we actually forget God is already answering those prayers that we've prayed, right? Sometimes we get so worried about things in our life that God has already answered. Provision, shelter, love, forgiveness. But if we don't know what God says in His Word, how can we actually claim this promise? You see, one of the things that is declared over us whenever we commit sin, Jesus, what we find in His Word, John says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He's faithful. He is just to forgive us of all our unrighteousness. But if we don't know that promise, we might end up continuing to feel guilty about sins that we have already confessed and repented of, but we don't know that God has already forgiven us. We have not received it and claimed it. A lot of times we are filled with anxiety, and we forget that we have actually direct access to God in prayer so that we can experience the peace that passes understanding. That's a promise that we have. But if we don't know that promise, then we can't claim it and live it out for ourselves. So we need to know God's promises. Joseph eventually was convinced that this was a fulfillment of God's promise. Why? Because just like Mary, they grew up, right, in the synagogue. They would go to the synagogue and hear the readings from the scrolls of Isaiah, from the prophecies in their own Jewish Bibles. And so growing up, you know, from the time they were young, their parents would probably tell them these stories, right? They would go to the synagogue and hear these stories being said. They would sing about it. The festivals they would celebrate would commemorate it. And so when the angel finally appeared and said, hey, this is actually a fulfillment of that promise from Isaiah, it was clear to them that, okay, yeah, I mean, this is supernatural. This is something in alignment with what God has already said. Check. And I know that it is part of God's promise. To experience God's promise, we need to know what His promises are. We need also to learn to trust in God. We need to put our faith in God. We need to believe that what He says will be fulfilled, right? That's what trusting God is all about. Trusting God is believing that what He says is true and that He will do what He says He will do. If we're in doubt of God's words and His promises for us, then it's going to be difficult to continue to live a life that will experience the promises fulfilled in our own life. You know, it's like those relationships that you have. If you are always in doubt of your spouse, right? You always have a bunch of questions when they come home, when they arrive, especially if they had broken a previous promise. Are you really going to do what you said you're going to do? Are you really going to give me that gift? Or moms and dads, right? Many times our children would say, hey, can you play with me, especially the little ones? And we say, okay, I'm going to do that later when I'm done with this. And then we don't do it. And so over time, that trust erodes. And they say, you know, you always say that, but you actually never do it. And so I'm not going to believe in you anymore. And that breaks your heart, right? When you hear that as a parent, your child saying, I'm not going to believe in you anymore. But with God, that's not the case. With God, we can trust Him. We can trust Him because He is not like man that He should lie. And he doesn't change like shifting shadows. Whatever God has declared, decreed, and promised to do, he will fulfill. He's done that over the history of Israel. He's done that in the course of the life of Jesus Christ. He continues to do that in the life of every believer, in the life of the church, and in the history of the world today. The prophecies that Jesus declared are continuing to be fulfilled in our lifetime. So we know that we can trust in God. Thirdly, to experience God's promises, we actually need to obey God's instructions. We need to get up and get moving. We can't just say, okay, those are nice promises, and I'll quote them, I'll post them on my social media, I'll print them on a piece of paper and put them on my wall, but don't actually do them. Don't obey the commands. Don't fulfill what God has instructed for us to do. A lot of times we miss out on what God has promised because we have disobeyed the last command that he already gave us. Joseph and Mary were able to see the birth of the Savior of the world fulfilled in their relationship, in their lifetime, because Joseph decided, I'm going to believe what the angel said. I'm going to trust in that promise that was given hundreds of years ago that is now being fulfilled. I'm going to believe in the words of my engaged, soon-to-be wife, Mary. Mary herself believed the prophecy. And it's in Luke's account that he believed this prophecy over her life, and so it was also fulfilled. There is required obedience on our part. Joseph got up when he woke up, ended up marrying Mary, right? Never spoke negatively about her, and tried to be, from as far as we know, a good father to Jesus. As a result, seeing God's promise fulfilled in their life. And finally, number four, to experience God's promise, we need to know that God is with us. Emmanuel. See, that's one of the names that Jesus has. God is with us. Why is it important for us to know that God is with us? Because there are going to be times when it's going to feel like, man, this promise is taking so long to be fulfilled. I don't even know if God is hearing me. I don't even know if God is still listening. I don't even know if God will actually fulfill his promise. And this really has a lot to do with timing. A lot of times when it comes to God's promises, you know, we get so agitated, we get so impatient because we want God to fit in our own timetable. And we say, God, man, I need you to come through now. I need you to come and answer me right now. And sometimes God is saying, you know what? There are still things that I'm working out in your life before I fulfill those things. It tells us when the fullness of time came, the Son of God was born. See, timing has to be in sync with God. We need to be in alignment with God's timing, not the other way around, right? Because we are God's servants. We follow God. And so in seasons and times when it feels like, man, you know what we're expecting to happen is not yet happening, we need to remind ourselves, you know, God is with me. Despite of what I don't see, despite of the things that I'm wishing and desiring to be happening right now, we need to trust that God is still with us, that he is working things out in the background and in situations that we don't fully comprehend and don't fully understand, but we need to trust that he will work everything out for his good, for our good, so that his purposes will be fulfilled in the right time, in the right season. See, there were 500 years of silence between the Old Testament writings to the point that Jesus was birthed. And many people, many scholars continue to wonder and ask, you know, what happened in those, what they usually call 500 years of silence. We don't know what happened in the life of Israel, but one of the things that's obvious is that obviously, they strayed away from God and they eventually, when Jesus was born, were no longer the mighty kingdom that they once were politically. They were now under the Roman Empire. But one thing is certain, and many scholars tell us this, God was still with them throughout those 500 years of silence. Because when the fullness of time came, the promise of God was fulfilled. The Messiah was born. God is a promise maker and a promise keeper. That is something that we can rely on. But what we need to do is to be sure that we fulfill our end in that relationship so that our relationship with our Heavenly Father would continue to be stronger. And what we need in our part is faith and obedience so that we can experience the promises of God fulfilled. I pray that in this season and in the year that is to come, each one of us would continue to experience that in our life. You may be going through difficulty today, but know that God is with you. He is Emmanuel. He has never left you, and He will never forsake you. That's a promise that Jesus made, and we can trust Him because He did what He said He would do. I pray today that you experience all that God has for you. Get to know His promises. Get to know this God. Get in His Word and begin to claim it. Declare it over your life. Believe it and persevere through even the most difficult times because He has never left your side. Would you pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can always call upon Your name, that You have never left us, that You're a God who is faithful to Your word, that You will fulfill every word that You have spoken over Your children. I pray, Lord God, today that You would just strengthen the resolve of each one of us. We know, Lord God, for many, the year has been tough. Maybe even this season, Lord, this past few weeks has been difficult. But Lord, You have never left our side. You have always been with us, strengthening us, encouraging us. And Your promises may have been coming to us in different forms, and we have just not recognized it. So Lord, forgive us in those times when we have not recognized that it was You all along. Help us, Lord God, to claim the promises that You have spoken to us in Your word and to continue to walk in obedience, that we would not lose step with You and in the things that You are wanting to do in our life today. Jesus, we honor You and we thank You so much for obeying the Heavenly Father in coming, living a perfect sinless life, dying on the cross, resurrecting again, never to die, so that we could have life forever with You. Help us, Lord, to live that full and abundant life that You promised to give us beginning now. Through Your name we ask, Jesus. Amen.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.